Philippians chapter number 4, and we will begin our reading, verse 13. The Bible says this, God says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done. Verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. May God bless the reading of His Word. Let's pray together this evening. Lord, we love You. We thank You for the Bible. We thank You for this time that we have. Father, we pray for Grace Baptist Church. We pray that she would continue to be a burning and a shining light, a golden candlestick in this Northridge area, North Ridgeville area. And Father, I pray You'd help me to preach tonight. I pray that You would fill me with Your Holy Spirit. I'd get out of the way. I would trust in You. Help me, Lord, to preach as if it's the last sermon I will preach, because one day it will be. Help me to deliver with an urgency and a fervency, and help me to be faithful to You, Lord, because we love You. And help us to help the church, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated this evening. Years ago, when I'd first gotten saved, I joined the Marines, and I was a young man stationed at Camp Pendleton, California. I was an 18-year-old boy. And I just started going to church, and on Friday nights, all the young guys from the church would go out to the main street outside the base there. It's the main street outside, and it was a district where it was rough, and there were a lot of bars, and there was a lot of homeless people and junkies and things like that on the street outside the base. And we'd go pass out tracts every Friday night, and I had a friend of mine, his name was Steve, and Steve was going to get out of the Marine Corps, and he was going to be a preacher. And Steve, I said to him, now I was a new Christian, I didn't know a lot. I said, Steve, you can't be a preacher. I said, all preachers I ever met, they have wives, and you don't have a wife, so you can't be a preacher. And so he said to me, he said, yeah, but you know what? Now remember, I'd just gotten saved. He opened the Bible to Philippians. He showed me verse number 19, and he said, now look at that verse. It says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I said, Steve, but you're what the other guys call the president of the BTR club. I said, what's that? He said, the bachelor to the rapture club. So that was the game plan. But he showed me that Bible verse and he said, you know what? If I'm going to be a preacher, God's going to give me a wife. And so I looked at that and I said, okay, well, that's a good promise. And he's a good guy, by the way. He did get a wife. And he has like 5 or 6 kids now, and so Lord's been good. But the point I want you to see is this, is that when he showed me that verse, you see, what I've learned since then is you can't just take a razor blade and cut out verse 19 and pull it out of the Bible and hold to it like it's a fortune cookie promise and say, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And God will do it, and God will do it. You can't just do that. What I've learned since then, 30 years ago, is you have to read the Bible in what you and I call context. Context. You have to read the Bible in context. What does that mean? Number one, it means who is speaking. Number two, to whom are they speaking? Number three, what are they speaking about? And so you have to learn to read the Bible in context, and that is the key to understanding how you and I, as Christians, can claim the promises in the Word of God. So let's reread this passage as Paul writes to these Philippian Christians. Look at me at verse 15. It says, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I, that's Paul, departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So he's saying to them, when I left you in the beginning of the gospel, when he says that phrase, in the beginning of the gospel, he's not talking about when Jesus came to earth and died upon the cross and rose from the dead. He means the beginning of the gospel arriving in their community, arriving in their life and they're hearing the message for the first time. That's what Paul means when he says in the beginning of the gospel. You say, why are you emphasizing that? Because we're going to drive around the back roads for a little while. We're going to go up and down the hills for a little bit, but we're going to come back to that. So don't forget that phrase, in the beginning of the gospel, because I'm going to lose you. You say, how do you know? Because my daughter said, Dad, you're right. Because she's even heard me preach a sermon before. She said, yeah. And then, oh, okay, I see how it works. So remember that phrase, in the beginning of the gospel. Can we even say that together, please? Would you say that with me? Ready? In the beginning of the gospel. Remember that. That's where we're going. So when is the beginning of the gospel in the life of these Philippian believers? You go back approximately 10 years in time, and you can find the answer to that question. So let's do that. Let's go back to Acts chapter number, oh, we'll start at 13 for now. I was going to say 16, but let's see how we go. Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. This is what we refer to as the beginning of the gospel in their lives. Acts chapter number 13. Let's look at verse number 2. And the Bible says, in verse chapter 13, verse number 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So what I'd like you to see, if you look up here for just a minute, the church is fasting, the church is praying, the church is ministering to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit of God makes it very clear to the church, I want you to take Saul, who is Paul, and Barnabas, and I want you to separate them from the called out assembly, to separate them from the local New Testament church. They're set aside for a work. And so these two men have been called by God to leave the church in Antioch and to go and to preach. So travel with me now to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter number 16, and we'll begin our reading in verse number 6. Acts chapter number 16. And the Bible says this in Acts chapter 16 and verse number 6. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, we're talking about Paul and Barnabas right now, verse 7, after they were come to Masaya, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, verse 8, and they passing by Masaya came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So back in chapter 13, they're separated unto the work of the ministry. They're separated to evangelize, to equip, to edify the believers in that order. And so they leave the church and they're all excited, and Paul wants to go into Asia. Paul wants to go into the East, but the Holy Spirit doesn't have that plan for Paul's life. You see, that's why it's so important that not only missionaries and pastors, but every single saved person who has the Holy Spirit of God living inside of them, listen to His guiding and direction. If you're saved, say amen. Amen. If you know you have the Holy Spirit according to the Word of God inside of you because you're saved, can you say amen? All right, so we know that the Holy Spirit of God will lead us and guide us just like the Apostle Paul. The problem is that spiritually speaking, the problem in your life and my life is too much. We're doing this spiritually. I'm not listening, I'm not listening, I'm not listening. Amen? Right? We get so caught up in what we want to do and where we want to go and how we want to live and what we want to be, instead of listening, saying, speak, Lord, thy servant hear. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. And so we need to get into God's plan and God's program so that God can speak to us. You see, Paul wanted to go into Asia, and that's a good thing. Paul wanted to go and preach in the East, and that's a good thing. But the Holy Spirit of God said, no, no, I am calling you to the West. I want you to go into Macedonia. I want you to go into that region near Greece and Turkey called Macedonia. I want you to open up Europe with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because Paul listened, that time, and Barnabas listened, the gospel made its way into a foothold in Europe. And if you were to take a map, I like it when they have maps, it makes it so much more fun. And you could go over here and do geography, and you realize that they came in this southeast corner of Europe, and as Paul led people to Christ in Macedonia, the gospel spread west, and the gospel spread north, and the gospel spread west, and the gospel spread north through the Roman Empire, and Christians became believers, people became Christians and believers in England and Ireland, and the gospel made its way over the centuries, and then they got on ships, you know, maybe you've heard of it, the Mayflower, and they took the Bible and the gospel and the message of Christ into the new world. And I submit to you tonight that we're sitting in North Ridgeville, Ohio, at the Grace Baptist Church because one man obeyed the Holy Spirit of God. Isn't that awesome? Isn't it wonderful to realize the influence that your life and my life could have? I bet you Paul never saw that one coming. Amen? Boy, I'll tell you what, but it's such a blessing to know that there is a plan that God has for our lives. And so Paul was obedient to the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit called him and told him where he wanted him to go was into Europe. And I believe also, by the way, that God is making his way all the way around, right back towards Jerusalem, where it's all going to finish up nice and neatly. It's all going to be buttoned up over time and translation. And so there was a need, and God sent them to the land called Macedonia. And so they went into the land of Macedonia, and they listened to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I want you to look with me in Acts chapter 16, but drop down to verse number 14. I don't know how we're going to do this tonight, but we'll see how it all goes anyway. All right, Acts chapter 16, verse number 14. Look at what the Bible says. New paragraph. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So see the picture, see the stage being set. Paul and Barnabas show up in Macedonia. They go down to Philippi, they go down by the river, they find this woman who is, if you allow me to parallel, a woman who owns her own business. Here is a successful working woman who has her own business, a seller of purple. All right? Now, she also has a household. That means she probably has servants and she probably has a husband and children. And the Bible says that the two Baptist preachers, by the way, all preachers in the Bible are Baptist preachers. We'll save that for another day, all right? And so they were all immersionists. Say amen, right? Come on now. There were no water flicker sprinklers or pourers or any of that junk in the Bible. Amen. All right, these two immersionist local New Testament called out Assembly Baptist preachers find this people down by the river whom the Lord has opened their heart. God opened this woman's heart. That's what the Bible says. And so he preached to her, you must be born again, you need to be saved, you need to trust in Christ and open the Word of God to her. And the Bible says she believed and her household believed. That's more than one person. So that's what she is. That's who she represents. So I'm going to do, I like to do this. I like to draw pictures. You want to come up? I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I know. Come on. It's okay. It's okay. I'll buy you an ice cream after church. Just stay there. Unless you want to come up, it's all right. Come on. All right. Stay. Okay. So we have Lydia. This is a woman that sells purple. She represents in your life people who are successful in the world. People who have extremely handsome husbands in this lifetime. She represents people that know how to make a living, run a business, leader type people in our segment of society. She's not a liability. She's an asset to society. Lydia was an asset to society. And so she got saved. And her household, that means more than one. But the Bible doesn't stop there. So look at what the Bible goes on and says. And look at verse 16 in a new paragraph. And it says this, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way unto salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. Now pay attention. You believe the Bible. Look at the next statement. And he came out the same hour. Let me just throw this thought out, just a side note, not part of the sermon specifically. He, the demon, the devil, was living inside of she. be wary of ladies who have the spirit of a man upon them. Just think about it. That's all right. Side note. Nothing to do with sermon. Let's stay focused. All right? So now we have a demon-possessed girl. I usually have my two daughters in here. And I usually pull them up here. And I don't have anybody. Is there any lady that like to be demon-possessed? Anyone like to represent? Oh, thank you so much. You made the Elkotha. Please, come stand by my nice wife. You're such a nice... She needs to be the demon... You need to go over by my wife, okay? All right. She's nice. She'll befriend you, okay? So in other words, what is this... Tell me your first name.
Sarah.
I have a Sarah, too. She's usually the demon-possessed girl. Funny enough. There you go. Right? Sarah, I'm telling you, it means princess. Come on now, right? Okay? So this girl, this demon-possessed girl in the Bible, walks around behind these Baptist preachers going, these are the servants of the Most High God which show us the way of salvation. These are the servants of the Most High God which show us the way of salvation. She did this day, that's what the Bible says, day after day after day. Talk about OCD. Come on, right? There it is. And so this woman did it, and Paul stops, and he turns around, he points it, and he says, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. Now, I'm quiet where the Bible's quiet, and I speak where the Bible speaks. But I'm going to submit to you, and I'm going to ask you to give me about this much leeway between where the Bible is silent. I'm going to make a projection, a probability, that the demon-possessed girl that was demon-possessed, her life was ruined, she was miserable. When Paul commanded the devils to come out of her, I'm going to just submit that she probably was grateful. I was glad when the devils came out of me. And I'm going to submit to you, and the Bible doesn't say it, the Bible doesn't say it, the Bible doesn't say it. But I'm going to submit to you, possibly she's probably in heaven today. I'm sure that Paul carried through, because Paul followed through and probably told her the way of salvation. So the Bible doesn't say it. I just want you to know that I know the Bible doesn't say it. But if you'll just allow me that much room, I would say she's probably on the streets of gold today. But do you know who she represents in segment of society today? She's that girl with black nail polish. She's that girl with those big giant earrings. She's the girl with the riveted earrings in her face and in her nose. She's the girl with that crazy looking hair, and some of them in our families. Okay? Right? She's the person that has a t-shirt that says Marilyn Manson on it, Lady Gaga on it. She's that kind of person that represents. But you know what I'd like to submit to you? Those people need Jesus just as much as the working class people Jesus do. And by the way, when Jesus found me, this was not who represented me. This was the person that represented me. When I got saved, I had drugs in my pocket. When I got saved a couple weeks ago, I woke up, I didn't know where I was or who I even was the next day. When I went to school, it was with Southern Comfort on my breath as a 15-year-old boy. That's the kind of life I lived. And so, you know, when God found me, He didn't find a winner. He found somebody that was in a garbage can. And you know what? God saves even the lowest of the low. And they need Jesus just as much. And sometimes they're even more open than those folks who got it all together over there. And so I believe that that young lady probably got saved. But let me just keep moving here. I'd like you to look with me, if you'll read with me. Go to verse number 25 in chapter 16. It says this, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, saying praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prisons awakened out of the sleep, and seeing the prison door open, he drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Verse 29, that he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, here it is, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Amen. What a question. What a great question. So this man, most of you know your Bible probably fairly well, but this man was the county jailer. He was the jailer. And what happened was, when Paul cast the devil out of this old girl here, the town people rose up and said, we can't make money off of her fortune telling at ESP anymore. Throw these two Baptist preachers and throw them in jail and lock them in jail. And if anything happens, it's going to be your head on the plate tomorrow, buddy, Mr. Jailer. And so this jailer comes out, the earthquake opens the doors, he sees the doors in the jail open, he figures, it's over, I'm done. Execution in the morning, the government's going to capital punishment me, I failed my job, I might as well finish it. So he draws his sword, and he's ready to take his own life. You know the story. And Paul says, stop, we're all here. And the Bible says that the man fell down at Paul's feet and looked at him and said, sirs, Paul and Barnabas, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. So the Bible says that not only did the jailer get saved, Mr. Jailer got saved, Mrs. Jailer got saved, and all the little convicts got saved and their families. Telling you, it's a blessing. So come on up, Mr. Jailer, right? Okay? So what does this guy represent? This guy represents a couple things. First of all, he represents the blue-collar working man. He represents the civil servant who works for the government. But he also represents people who are hurting and are suicidal. But they got saved. He got saved. His wife got saved. His family got saved. His household got saved. She probably got saved. This woman got saved. Her children probably got saved. Her servants got saved. So we have all these people who are now saved living in the area of Philippi. And this, my friends, is what we call the beginning of the gospel. Now, let me look at real quick with you. I'm going to finish up real quick. In Acts chapter 7, I don't know what time church finished normally. Is it 9? Okay. Pastor, what time does church finish normally? 10. Only gets better around here. This is good. Okay. Look at chapter 17. We're going to do a verse-by-verse, word-by-word study through the rest of the book of Acts. All right. Now, National Organization of Women, word 1, verse 17. No. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, and there was a synagogue of the Jews. And as Paul's manner was, he went in unto them, 3 Sabbath days, reason with them out of the Scriptures. For 3 weeks, Paul tries to win these people, not in Philippi, in Thessalonia. He tries to win his own people. But he realized he's not getting anywhere fast. Look at verse 10 in chapter 17. The Bible says this, new paragraph. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. So he was at Philippi. He then went to Thessalonica. He is now in verse 10 on his way to the city called Berea. And that's not in Ohio. If you think about it for a while, you get it. All right, look at, drop down to verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, oh, he's now left Berea. He's in the city of Athens. His spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry, and it moved him. Now, we don't know if a church was started in Athens, but go to chapter 18, look at verse number 1. The Bible says this, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. Do you see what's happening? Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Athens, and now he's in Corinth. This man is going from city to city to city to city doing the same thing he did over there with these folks. Different results, different faces, different places, but basically the same plan that God has for everyone everywhere. And so what I want you to see is everything I just laid out for you, okay? That is the beginning of the gospel in the city of Philippi. Now, by way of introduction, we'll go into my sermon. Go into Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter number 4. And this is the context of the chapter that I want you to see. Is all of that is one phrase. The beginning of the gospel in Macedonia. Okay, Lord help. Verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye, speaking to these people here in Philippi, have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye, Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, when I departed from your country, where your city is, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, remember Paul went to Thessalonica after he left them? Ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Okay, look, drop down to verse 18. But I have all, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Verse 18, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. John, I need more help. Come on up, brother. Okay. All right, now I need to represent Epaphroditus because the context says there's another man as he writes to the Philippian church named Epaphroditus. So we know Epaphroditus was a saved man. We know the Philippian jailer's family is a saved family. We know that Lydia's family is a saved family. And we probably the demon-possessed girl got saved. So we know that when Paul left, he left behind saved people that were baptized, that he wrote back to them collectively. You know what we call that? A church. Not just a bunch of saved people scattered to the wind, a called out assembly. The Bible says that when Paul was over here, nobody else but you guys sent once and again unto my necessity. So number one is this. I want you to see number one is the church communicated, the church gave. All right. So whenever you fill one of these out and you send your missions money, these folks, you remember when you were going to kill yourself and Paul led you to the Lord? Remember you were sitting down by the river and the Lord opened your heart and he was gracious and sent Paul to preach to you how to get saved? Remember when Paul cast out the devil out of your life? I don't know about Epaphroditus off the top of my head, but that's all right. We know he's in the church. We know he's in the church, all right? And so the Bible says, hang on to that. Now, what you have to do is, okay, you need to come to me. Now, the Bible says, ye sent once, come to me now, Epaphroditus, and gave unto my necessity. This is not so that I desire a gift. This is so I can pay my bills. This is so I can feed my family. This is so I can keep doing what I did in your city, and so I don't have to make tents anymore. Are you with me? Say amen if you get that. Does that make sense, right? Ye sent once, but it wasn't a one-time deal. Now, you know, take this one. You go back there and take up another collection. Forward march. There you go. Look at that. Still on the ship. There you go. All right, fill the bucket. Fill it. Let it overflow. Come on, fill it. Pass it. Come on. You'd think the kid would know how to do this after so many times, right? Okay, all right. Ye sent once, right? But the Bible doesn't stop there. And again, unto the church planting guy named Paul, unto my necessity. Why? Not because I desire a gift. But you see, I, Paul, you can go home now, back to Philippi. I desire... No, home there. Okay. Not because I desire a gift. Now, you guys look at me. Not because I desire a gift, but unto my necessity, that I, Paul, the preacher who you just gave to, number one, the church gave, number two, the missionary received, I desire fruit to your account as I win people to Christ and win people to Christ and win people to Christ, win people to Christ. I desire fruit to your account, but it doesn't stop there. It abounds. You see, if I win this row of people in this town to Christ, but they win the next people in the next row in the next town to Christ, and those folks never see me, but they win the folks in the next village over, and they win the next guy. No, Paul won't get saved. Never mind. And so they win the guy in the back. But and even though they never knew anybody in this town, in this town, in this town, or that town, the Bible says because they obeyed the Bible and they gave, that is fruit to their account that is abounding and abounding and abounding and abounding. You want to talk about Social Security? You want to talk about 401k? You want to talk about retirement? There it is. That is your eternal stock market investment. Every time you give, number one, the church gave. Number two, the missionary received. But it doesn't stop there. You see, the Bible says, number three, the God of heaven was pleased. You see, Paul said to them, it was a sacrifice. It was an offering. A sweet savor. A sacrifice unto the Lord is what Philippians. You read it when we're done here. I have to keep moving. But it was a sacrifice to God when this process happened. The God of heaven is pleased. And I don't know how this does work, but I do know this. The Bible says it's like a sacrifice. A savoring, like in the Old Testament, the smell of those sacrifices would go into the nostrils of a holy God and he would just inbreathe it and appreciate it. Now, I don't know how that works with God, but I do know this. I know God is a great King, glorious, and I know He's with us right now, and He always sees us. Number two, that I know that this body of Christ is the bride of Jesus Christ. Okay? I know that that's what you are. You are His bride. He is your groom. We know that's what the Bible teaches. I don't know about the church, but I can give you a small type, okay? Very small type, okay? I have a groom. I have a bride. And I do know this, that when she puts on perfume, it is an odor. It is a sweet sacrifice. It is a savor unto me. It is well pleasing unto my nostrils. But I know when she does that for me, it's a blessing to me. But I don't know why the Bible words it that way. But God says when the church gives and the missionary receives and people get saved, that it is a sacrifice and God is pleased. And now, you folks can go ahead and sit down. You can go home, John, now. Home. All right? Okay? So, and now, after looking at that, let's read verses 18 and 19 in the context of what has just happened. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. You see it right there? See how that all plays out? Verse 19. Now we claim it. Now we take it in context. Now we understand. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If we want to get what we need from God, not what we greed in our flesh, but what we need, this is God's plan. And God will take care of you. And I submit to you right now, it is God's plan for you to continue to grow in your missions program. And before God, I promise you, and there's two witnesses right now, I'm not preaching you give to missions and me as a missionary just take. I promise you, we as a family sacrificially give to missions. It's wrong to ask people to do that which you won't do for God biblically anyway. But so I just want to encourage you, what you're doing is changing people. And everything you saw on the wall tonight is a part of that same simple process. You gave, we received, we go, people are saved, and those three preacher guys are still leading people to the Lord. You'll never even know who they were, but you'll meet every last one of them when you and I step home in glory one day.